Take your Bibles this evening, if you will, and turn it to Exodus chapter 20. This morning, we looked at what a child's responsibility is concerning the fifth commandment. But I want to remind you that there's another side, a flip side to this. It's not just children are to obey their parents. Parents have a responsibility to their children as well. We can make it easier or more difficult for them to honor, to obey, to do those things that God would have us to teach our children. We have a responsibility to exercise authority in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Anytime that you have authority, it ought to be constrained by how and what God wants you to do with that authority. We cannot abuse our authority by using it harshly or overstepping the boundaries or the bounds that God has given to us. We cannot abuse the authority that God has given us in order to get what we want out of the situation, to manipulate things. Anytime God gives you leadership, whether that's in the home or out in the workplace, it is to the advantage of those you are leading. When you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find out those things that he did always were to the benefit of those that were following. Sometimes it wasn't always so readily apparent. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, the disciples probably didn't like being tossed to and fro, but they were able to see the glory of God as Jesus told the winds and the waves, "Peace, be still." We're talking about the fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother. And I believe it has special relevance to fathers and mothers. If children are supposed to obey their parents, then we as parents had better give godly leadership. I think the New Testament makes it very clear. It attaches these words in that context. You remember we looked at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. I didn't get to verse 4. I was saving that for tonight. It says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." In the context of honoring your father and mother, the first commandment with promise, we are reminded that we ought to be bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and not provoking them. So the idea of being right parents is connected in Scripture right along with the fifth commandment. Let's go ahead and just look at that fifth commandment together. It's verse 12 of chapter 20. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." The idea of not provoking your children to anger is found again in Colossians 3:21. And it gives the response. It says, "Lest they be discouraged." You want to dishearten your child, provoke them to anger. Ask them to do things that they cannot do, that they're not old enough to do, that they're not capable of doing. When we have unreasonable demands placed upon our children, when we correct them in anger rather than love, we are abusing the authority that God has given us in the home. I want to remind you, however, that parents are called to give more than just discipline in the home. We're called to pray for our children, to go to the throne room of grace and ask God to do the work that we can't do for our children. We're to encourage them in the things of the Lord, discourage them in the things that are not of the Lord. We're to counsel them, to protect them. God's given us the privilege of providing for their daily needs. In some regards, we are in the place of God in their life, and they will, dads, have a view of God much as they view you. It's going to be a mirror image oftentimes. We said this morning that it's important for parents, or the fifth commandment, one of the reasons why God has given the fifth commandment is so that parents can teach their children about the Lord. I want to reemphasize that. As we think about the responsibility of parents, we must stop and say, listen, the main reason that God has given you to that child is so that you can teach that child about Him. Don't miss that. That means it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to have family devotions, to teach our children about the things of the Lord, to check to see if our children are having their devotions, their personal quiet time with the Lord. It's our responsibility as parents, but especially as fathers, as spiritual leaders, to know or to tell our children that we're going to church when the church doors are open. It's easy to preach that on a Sunday night to people that are at church when the church doors are open. But praise the Lord for that. That's our responsibility. I think when you go back to the gospel, and we're going to in just a moment. As a matter of fact, if you will, take your Bibles and turn it to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, all the way to the very last verse. You can actually turn it to Luke chapter 3 and just put in a reverse for one verse and you'll get there. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And I think we'll find some teaching, and we're given, I believe, in this verse, four things that children need in their lives. But they don't just get it by living, they get these things by being taught these things. Actually, I'm going to back up to verse 51. And he, that's the Lord, Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And so here he is in the temple with all the scribes, the Pharisees. He's absolutely astounding them with the answers and with his knowledge. And he's finally accosted by his parents. Where have you been? What are you doing? We 3 days on the road and we thought you were with Uncle, you know, somebody. Uncle Samuel maybe. I don't know. And so he goes back home. He submits himself to them. But then it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I think this verse gives us an insight, gives us a clue to some very basic needs that children have that we as parents can help them to develop in their life. Four things, four needs that the parents have a responsibility to nurture and develop as you raise your children. The first is simple. It says that he increased in wisdom. Pretty simple to say that a child lacks wisdom. Moms, dads, anyone? Amen. It's interesting to me as we observe the humanity of Jesus Christ, he increased in wisdom. You say, explain that to me. How the creator of the universe increased in wisdom. I don't know that I can really wrap my mind around that, other than to say in his humanity, there were things that he was growing and learning. What is wisdom? Wisdom is simply applying God's truth to everyday situations. It's not about going to get a PhD somewhere. That is certainly learning and that is knowledge. But wisdom is taking knowledge and using it aright. And so in a way you could just basically say wisdom is discerning between that which is right and that which is wrong, between that which is safe and that which is dangerous, between that which is immoral and that which is pure. So, a child that is growing up in your house will discover by teaching, by those times that when you're getting up and laying down, when you're going out, what Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us, that no matter where we are, it's a teaching opportunity for us to teach our children what is right and what is wrong, what is godly and what is ungodly, what is safe and what is dangerous. And I don't just mean physically, although that's part of it, but spiritually. You see, when your children are very little, there's just so much they don't understand. They may not be able to old enough to even be able to understand the whys of it. And when they're real young, you don't really have to give the whys. It's just a matter of what? Do this and do it now. Why? Because I said so. I hated that answer as a child. But I can understand it better now. When I look back at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, I kind of see Paul saying that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because it's right. He kind of says because. He doesn't say because I said so, but because it's right. At a very young age, children don't even know what is safe and what is dangerous. You see a pot of boiling water. I served in the Navy with a fellow that had a complete a scar right across his chest. When he was a kid, he grabbed a handle of hot boiling water and it poured on his chest. He had I don't know how many surgeries to be able to correct it as much as they could. You don't let your child go out and play in the road if you live near a busy street. They may want to build a fort out there. You're like, no, that's crazy. No loving parent would let a child go do that. But our responsibility doesn't end when they realize that they can't pull down a pot of boiling water or they can't go play in the road. That's not the end of it. Your child, even though they may be 13 or 15 or 17 or 18, they may not understand or not be able to see or distinguish between those friendships that are healthy and those friendships that are dangerous, that are unhealthy. Those friendships that are destructive. And so we give them that kind of instruction. Oh, my child won't like me if I tell them who they can hang around and who they can't hang around. Mom and Dad, I know most of you know this, if not every one of you, but it's always good to be reminded. Your child is not to be your friend while they're living in your house. Your child's desperate need is not to have another friend. Your child's desperate need is to have a father and a mother who's going to look out for their best interest, regardless of how they feel about it. That is what your child needs. We have a generation of mothers that want to live vicariously through their daughters and fathers that want to live vicariously through their sons and living in sports and doing all these different things. And I'll just say, those things aren't necessarily wrong, but they can become unbalanced. Parents, you can't live your glory years through your children. Let them enjoy their childhood. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Children seem to be growing up so very quickly in our day and age. Have you ever said that? I was just talking, I think it was to Garrett this morning. I haven't seen somebody in a couple years, and in my mind, when I don't see somebody, you just put them on pause. And the next time you see them, they're not on pause. They're several years older. You say, I didn't even recognize them. Well, if you ever have said children grow up fast now these days, you'd be correct. I ran across some statistics, startling statistics. Children are actually growing up faster today than ever before. Back in the 1600s, the Bach Boys Choir. The boys in that choir would sing until their voice would begin to crack. And at the age of 18, when that happened, they would be kicked out of the choir. You see, in the 1600s, puberty occurred somewhere between the ages of 18 and 20. It's hard to believe now, but I believe part of the society in which we live and when we're the overexposure to immorality and the degradation of our society, the level of puberty in children is decreasing 4 months every 10 years. That's hard to believe. They're saying now puberty occurs between ages 8 and 13 for girls and 9 and 14 for boys. In a little bit of study that I went into it, they said they don't worry if a young lady begins puberty at the age of 8. That's shocking to me. I want to remind you that home must be a place where a child can be a child. Where we turn off those influences that are pushing them to grow up before their time. They're not adults when they're 13 or 15 or even when they get their car keys at 16. I'm just here tonight to implore you, to implore to you to give your child some time to mature. You know, something that children need in the home is security. Knowing it's okay to grow physically and emotionally and spiritually. Home should not be a place of mean-hearted teasing. I understand we rib each other and there's always going to be some ribbing going on. But I've seen some, not here, but I've seen some harsh, what I would call harsh treatment from siblings to each other, from parents to children, and even the disrespectful children to parents. And it's just that they say, well, that's just a relationship we have. That's not a good, a healthy relationship. Home should not be a place, not only of mean-hearted teasing, it ought to be a safe haven. And so if children aren't as tall as other kids at that age, or maybe they're taller than other kids at that age, or maybe they're bigger than some kids or smaller than some kids, or maybe they're not as developed in some ways, and we all went through a clumsy stage, and we all, that's just part of growing up. But home should of all places be a safe place for a child to simply grow up. Let me tell you something that is missing from homes in America today. Not just a center on spirituality, we understand that, but I think there's something else that's missing. Because children have been forced to grow up so quickly, simple innocence is missing. Children are no longer naive. If they want to know something, they'll Google it. Mom and Dad, children should not have free access to any device that's not monitored and is not have some kind of filter on it. There should be no screens in the rooms that are not being there should just be no screens in the room, period. There should be no screens that are not being monitored. Those are two separate sentences, all right? It's your job to protect them. And I don't care how much they kick and they scream and they cry and they say, this person's doing it and this person's doing it. Well, that's their parents' fault. And they're going to stand in judgment for that one day. But if you're my child, that's not happening. That's not rhetorical. That's really, if you're one of my children, that's not happening, okay? There should be an innocence. There should be an innocence that seems to have evaporated in our culture today. It desperately needs to be there in our Christian homes. In godly homes, I believe our children should mature slower. And I don't mean necessarily puberty, but I'm talking about just an understanding the ways of the world. You say, well, they got to know. We don't want the world to crush them. That's a horrible philosophy of parenting, I'll just tell you. You teach them what God wants them to know, and you teach them about truth, and as they go out into the world, they're going to be armed to be able to withstand the crushing blows of the world. But you don't put a toddler into the boxing ring and say, well, he's going to have to find out someday what it's like. So he has to have favor, Jesus increased in wisdom. But I don't know if I said it, I think I skipped over it. But the idea of increasing in stature is not just in height. It really has the idea of maturity. And so as Jesus increased, certainly stature has somewhat to do with growing physically, but it has to do with that maturity. Let's just take our time. Let them increase. Give them the safety and the haven to be able to grow up in your home without the fear of being harassed about who they are. Thirdly, it says that he increased not only in wisdom and stature, but he increased in favor with God. In other words, a child doesn't automatically know how to relate to God. None of us did. We had to be taught. Some had the privilege of being taught by godly parents how to relate to God. Some of us had to learn it from somebody who was brave and bold enough to share the gospel with us. And we could learn then from God's word. But the home is a place where we ought to be instructing our children how they can relate to God. In our prayers, that they will walk in the truth that they've been given. We need to teach them that their relationship with God is of the utmost importance. It's the most primary and basic relationship outside of the parents that they need to have is with God. Really, it supersedes the relationship that they have with their parents. That is the key to a successful life. And I'm not talking about riches and fame. I'm talking about a life that has meaning and worth and that it means something for eternity is that relationship with God. But unfortunately, we say, okay, well, we're going to go to church. Well, I don't know if we're going to go to church. Ask mom if we're going to church. Well, I don't know. We might not. Now, I'm not saying church is the answer, but I'm saying that's representative of what's going on in the home then. I will say church is part of the answer. And so, if we make our spiritual life just on Sundays, we'll go and we'll sit and we'll listen, but the rest of the week is just filled with the world, what are we teaching them about that relationship that they ought to have with God? It's good for Sundays, might be good for Wednesdays, maybe. And then you can go out and live your life however you want. That is a destructive recipe for a child going off into the world for 5 days a week and spending an hour or two with God on Sunday and maybe Wednesday. It's our responsibility to help them to see their responsibility to the God who created them. But it's not just a responsibility, it's a great privilege. If you have ever had an opportunity to sit your child down and go through the gospel, and when they finally get it, and they finally respond to that, it's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing to know that you were used of the Lord to be able to see your children come to know Him. That's a wonderful thing. That's a privilege that we as parents have to reach down and be able to help our children to understand at their level what it is to be born again. And lastly, it talks about growing not only favor with God, but favor with man. Children are selfish. I'm not going to read them again, but I read the other night about the nursery rules, right? And I think every child is born knowing how to say one word, but it just takes them a while before they can articulate it. Mine! Mine! It's mine. And they think that the whole world and the universe and the galaxy, whichever one of those is the biggest, revolves around them. And they will never learn to relate to people until they are instructed, until they are taught. You don't have to be taught to be selfish, but you must be taught to be selfless. And so it's our job as parents not only to show them that they're not the center of the universe, and to show them who is not only the center of the universe, but the creator of the universe. So it says Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, meaning he was learning more and maturing more, and he grew in favor with God and with man, not only in God, but with man. You know, one of the ways grow and being able to relate better to man is by teaching our children how to share, how to put others above themselves. But I also believe that one of the ways that you teach children how to gain favor with man, how to relate to them, is to teach them how to work. Teach your children how to work. You ought to have age-appropriate jobs that they can do, that they're responsible for. You don't tell a 2-year-old to go in and clean his room and make his bed and do all those things. But you can go in and pick up a toy with them and say, let's clean up together. Let's do those things. And as they get older, the responsibilities grow. But a child that never has to work is going to be a child that is lazy, has an entitlement mentality that says, I deserve. And so if you have parents, young person, that give you jobs and chores, you ought to be thankful for parents that love you enough to teach you how to work. And that is going to help them to know how to relate to others and be a productive part of society one day. So children start out with a lack of favor with men. So what we do is we teach them how to respond to men or women in unselfish giving ways with responsibility. With responsibility. Teach your children how to deal with people honestly and with respect. But that starts in the home with the relationship with a parent and a child. I believe those four important needs that children have are given as a responsibility then as parents to help us develop those qualities in our children. One man opined publicly, youth today love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, and talk nonsense when they should work. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents, talk too much in company, guzzle their food, lay their legs on the table, and tyrannize their elders. You want to know who said that? His name was Socrates, and he lived 400 years before Christ. In other words, children have been children for a very long time. But parenting has gone out of style. Kids are still going to be kids, but we need godly moms and dads that are going to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, helping them to grow in wisdom, knowing what is right and wrong, helping them to grow in stature, meaning maturity, helping them to grow in maturity, and then in favor with God and man, teaching them how to relate to God and how to relate to others. It's a great responsibility, but it is a great privilege. It is a great privilege. It's only four things. It sounds easy, doesn't it? But I remind you of this. We have a very short time to teach them these things, to help them to learn. 18, 19, 20 years, that sounds like a long time. But you ask some of these people in here and they'll tell you it's gone just like that. Let's make every day count as we parent our children for the glory of God. Let's pray together.